right, we all ready this morning for healing school for such a time as this. Yes. Gonna help you go up higher in your faith, believe in God, trust in God, and knowing what belongs to you. How to walk in what belongs to you and not let the devil steal from you. Amen. We're gonna open up with prayer and get started. Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you and praising you and blessing you because you're so good and you're a great Father and a great God. And you always take care of us and provide for us everything we'll ever need right here, right now, in this life, on this earth. And Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place, who died for us, who became our sin substitute, our sickness and disease substitute. We're so grateful and thankful. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place this morning. You are the great revealer of all truth. You are the great illuminator, bringing revelation knowledge into the heart of each listener here today. We decree and declare that your word will grow and prevail mightily. And it never returns unto you void, but it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. And I ask that you grant me utterance in the Holy Ghost, thinking through my thoughts, speaking through my lips your words with accuracy, clarity, and simplicity. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we also want to take the time to welcome all those online with us this morning that are joining us. We're glad that you have chosen to join us with Healing School today. And we just believe that it will help you, take you to your further step in your next step and walk with the Lord, your relationship with Him. All that is important. We want to keep moving forward with God, right? Yes, we do. Hallelujah. Amen. So last week we had started on unforgiveness, and I'm believing that we're going to finish today. If we don't, hey, praise the Lord, it'll be all right. But obviously this is something that the Holy Spirit is trying to help us with, and so we're just going to follow the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to do a quick review here concerning unforgiveness, because repetition is what? The motor of learning. We can't hear it enough. When it comes to faith, what did it say? Haven't heard one time? It says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing over and over again. So Romans 10:17 tells us that. So the more that we're hearing it, seeing it, declaring it, speaking it, very important. Why? Because that's the gateways into your heart, into your spirit, and we're told to guard our hearts continually. But if we're not speaking the right thing and we're speaking something that's totally contrary to what God has said, then you know what? Your body is going to respond to your words more than anything anybody else's. You were created that way. You were made by God that way. That your speech center is the dominion center of our lives, of your life. Your speech center is the dominion center of your life. Your voice is your address into the realm of the spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. Don't ever forget that. This is why the enemy tries to get you mad, tries to get you upset, so you're saying the wrong things, or you just shut down and don't say anything. He loves that also. This is not a time to be quiet. And especially if you're in a situation, you're dealing with sickness or disease or a bad report or evil report, something that has been spoken to you that's contrary to this, then guess what? We need to be hearing the Word of God more than that, and speaking what God's Word says more than what the other reports might be telling us. Yeah. God's word is more than a piece of paper with some words printed on it. His word is life, healing, and medicine. Let me say that again. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22. God's word is life. That means it's life-giving in its effect. life-giving, life-sustaining, life-preserving. God's word has the power within itself to fulfill itself. It's living power. It's always active. But our faith grabs a hold of that living power and what? Brings it into our own situation, and that power is activated in our situation, whether it's in something you're dealing with physically, mentally, financially. Your faith grabs a hold of that living power, brings it into your situation, and causes that power to be active for you. Very, 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 very important. It is. So we have to be constantly hearing, speaking, guarding our hearts. Yeah. So when it comes to unforgiveness, we said a few, I want to go back over a few things that were spoken here. Number one, we said harboring unforgiveness in your heart can be a hindrance to your faith and a roadblock to your healing. We do not want anything to hinder our faith, nor do we want anything to be a roadblock to our healing or health. No hindering. We want our faith what? Working in full force. We want strong faith, as the Bible tells us. And we need to, it takes time to develop strong faith. It doesn't just happen one time. It's a continual action of your faith on what God has said. All the time. Listening to what God has said and not to the other reports that you may have been given. Constantly listening to what His report says. So His report says, by His stripes you were healed. God's report says, I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all your destruction. Whose side are we going to side in with? The word? It's easy to side in with the problem and the situation because of what you're seeing and feeling. But remember, your feelings were not given to you to dictate to you about what you have or what you don't have. Your feelings are supposed to come in line with what you're believing. And eventually they will come in line with what you're believing, but the main important thing is what you're believing. So you cannot allow your feelings to, just because you're feeling it doesn't mean you're failing it. That's a big one right there. Just because you're feeling it doesn't mean you're failing it. Sickness and disease is not the proof and the evidence that you're not healed. Pain and feelings is not the proof and the evidence that you're not healed. The Word of God is the proof that you are healed. And that's what we got to settle in our own hearts for ourselves. And we know that only comes by what? Hearing and hearing and hearing. We have to move the Word of God from information to revelation, where it drops down into our heart, our spirit, and you begin to see it in here. The Word of God will paint a picture in your heart, in your spirit. You'll see it in here first, in your spirit. And when you see it, you can have it. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 23, verse 7, so is a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The you that you see is the you that you will be. If you can't see it, you can't be it. So you got to move that word from your information, from just knowing about it. It's a good thing. I love what it's saying. It's telling me that, Pastor Debbie, but to take an ownership of it. Take an ownership of that word where, you know what, that's mine. God says it's mine. I have that because God said that. That's mine. Not because I feel it, but because God said it, it's mine. So now you're taking it and you're personalizing it. because you see it in here first. But if you're not seeing it yet, then you need to take more time to do what it tells us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And there's no condemnation. What do you mean, Pastor Deb? Take the time to think on it. The Bible says this book of Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Day and night, that you may observe and do all according to it is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. Day and night. So that's a good habit to form. First thing you do, no Bible, no breakfast. That's a good habit to form right there. No Bible, no breakfast. First thing is to train yourself so that your body is not dominating and leading. Look, your body is supposed to be brought into submission to your heart. Feed your inward man first, not the outward man. It's all right. You can get there. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit and just be determined that you're going to get there. You're going to feed your faith first. So we want to feed our faith first. Hallelujah. And that takes time. Glory to God. Y'all with me? Y'all are quiet this morning. So we don't want to harbor any unforgiveness, anything in our hearts that could hinder our faith. And unforgiveness is a major hindrance. It can hinder your faith from working. And we looked at it last week in Mark chapter 11. So let's go back there again. Mark chapter 11. And we're reading out of the Amplified again today. Mark chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 22 through 26. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 26. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. Another translation says, have the God kind of faith. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we having the spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. We having. So if you're born again in here today, Romans 12, verse 3 says, all of us, if you're born again, you have the life and the nature of God on the inside, you've been given a measure of the God kind of faith. All of us start out with the same measure, but then it's up to each one of us what we do with that measure that we've been given. Are we developing that measure? Are we exercising that measure? Are we utilizing it, putting it to work, applying it in our lives? Hallelujah. So we want strong faith working, and if our faith ain't working, then our healing ain't working. Because by faith you receive everything from God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It takes faith to please him. So this is a growing part in our walk and our relationship with God. We're learning every day how to totally depend and count on him and what his word has told us. That's a process. You never arrive, you never get there, you're every day determining, I'm determined to walk by faith today. I'm determined to do what God's word says to do. So if we see right here in verse 22, so Jesus said to them, have the faith of God, have faith in God, have the God kind of faith constantly. So that's not every now and then, is it? That's not just when the crisis hit. That's not just in the hard times or the bad times, is it? No, he said constantly. Constantly, we're learning to depend on him, trust in him, take him at his word. I take you at your word. What you said, I believe it. What you started, you'll complete it. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up, thrown into the sea, does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. So now Jesus is telling them how the God kind of faith operates, works, what it looks like. After he had just been with his disciples, they had walked with him, saw him curse a fig tree. He spoke to the fig tree. Obviously, the fig tree heard him and responded to his words of faith. And the next day when they came by the fig tree, it had been withered up. So his words had power over a tree. Is that for real, Pastor? That's for real. Yes, it is. So he's telling them, whosoever. So whosoever means, are you a whosoever? Do you see yourself in here as the whosoever? Saying and speaking to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Believing is in here one time, but saying is in here three times. So the emphasis when it comes to our faith, the God kind of faith, is the speech center, the dominion center. What are you saying? All right, let's keep on going. Verse 24, for this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, here we go, we're continuing right on in now. He's talking with the God kind of faith, what we need to do, what we need to believe with. And he says, and when you stand in prayer, and I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believing and trusting and being confident that it is granted you, you shall get it. This isn't believing when you see it. This is believing before you see it. It's when you ask. It says when you pray and you ask, you believe you got it. And then he goes on to say, verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything, say anything. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. Boy, that's kind of straight to the point, isn't it? Yep. He's trying to help us. He said, look, this is what the God kind of faith does. This is what it looks like. This is how it operates. When you stand praying and you're praying in faith, you ask God, you believe you receive God, then don't have allow any ought or anything against anyone get into your heart while you're trusting and believing God. Keep your heart free and clean. Very important. Then in verse 26 it said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Well, we want to do what the Word says, don't we? We want to please God. It takes faith to please God, and when we do the Word, he says, the doers of the Word that are blessed in their deeds and their doing. James 1, verse 22. So we want to be doers of what we're hearing. That's learning to apply what we're hearing, personalize it, taking it to heart. This is me. This is what I have. This is who I am. This is what I can do. Why? Because God said so. Not because I feel like it. Not because it looks like it, sounds like it. Other reports are coming in opposite. But God, you said it. So if you said it, then this word has the power within itself to fulfill itself for me. You see where you continue to personalize it? It's the word working in me, not the sickness and disease. You go to the doctor and said, well, it looks like it's spreading a little bit, or it might be growing a little bit. Say, no, I believe, doctor, I believe it is God all the while at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I believe the healing power of God is at work in me, perfecting a cure and wholeness. I believe. What do you believe? You're saying with your mouth constantly what you believe. Do you believe God's report? Hallelujah. So unforgiveness is a major hindrance to our faith. But according to Jesus, we want our faith active and strong and working for us. Especially when you're in the fight of faith. The fight of faith, the fight to stay in faith so that the devil doesn't push you, persuade you, move you off your faith and trust in what God has said. That's what he wants to do. Move you off your faith in God. Like I said last week, and I'll continue to say it, you can't allow yourself to get into a pity party feeling pitiful, because if you're pitiful, you're not powerful. You can't be pitiful and powerful at the same time. So when you feel a little pity party trying to come on you, you know who it's coming from, the enemy. He's trying to hinder you and stop you. You cannot take the time to have no pity party. You got to resist that. Push that off. Push it away. Resistance pushes it away from you. I refuse to have a pity party. No, God has already made the provision for me for this situation, and I choose to believe what he has said and what he has already done through Jesus. But your words are so powerful. So you're continuing to say the outcome, not the... You're speaking to the circumstance. You're not talking about the circumstance. You're speaking to it. You're declaring the end from the beginning. That's what the God the Father did. He declared the end from the beginning. Even way before Jesus was even born on the earth, he was declaring, there shall be a child born of a virgin. It was in the Word. Oh, glory. So we definitely don't want unforgiveness in our hearts to hinder our faith or to be a roadblock to our healing. Do you know there have been plenty of people that the moment that they released unforgiveness, they let it go, they let it drop, they used their mouth, that they were healed in their bodies? The moment they let go of that animosity, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, offense, the moment they let it go, they received healing in their bodies. Powerful. So unforgiveness can produce sickness and disease in our bodies. Unforgiveness is toxic and poisonous. It is poison and toxic, and it can lead to sickness such as heart disease, arthritis, cancer, ulcers, stomach ulcers. All of this, it says medical studies have been done relating certain diseases to negative emotions, such as one of them, unforgiveness. So it's not doing the other person any good by you harboring unforgiveness in your heart towards them. You're hurting yourself. You're opening yourself up for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc and chaos in your body or mind or situation. We don't have time for that. We don't want that. We don't want to give the devil any place. So the medical studies have been done, and it said that sickness can be caused by negative emotions, one of them being unforgiveness. So that's cancers, ulcers, arthritis, heart disease. We don't want that. We want to keep the door shut, don't we? Yes, we do. And if we did open it to unforgiveness, then we want to be what? Quick, ready to forgive. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. It's not worth it. You can pray for your enemies. Pray for those who curse you, the Bible says. Pray for them. Be a forgiver and a releaser. Turn them over to God. Let God's will be done and wrought in them. God knows. Yes. He loves you enough to send his son to die for you and provide for you what you need. So then we found out also, we said this, forgiveness is a choice and a decision. It is not about waiting for a feeling. Feelings may never come, and the devil may make sure he sees that you may never have the feeling. But it's a choice and a decision on our part to say, God, your word says to do this. I'm choosing with my own will, making the decision today that I'm releasing, I'm forgiving so-and-so, and I'm turning them over to you for your will and plan to be wrought and done in their lives. I'm releasing them. Now also, you're asking for the help of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes in there as our helper, as what he is. Hallelujah. John 14. He's a helper, strengthener, a helper, a strengthener. So when you think you can't do it in and of yourself, you're asking for the strength and the might and the help of the Holy Spirit to help you do this. And you can do it. God would never tell you to do something that he didn't give you the means by which you cannot do it with. You can do it if he says you can forgive them, then forgive them. You can do it. So it's a decision and it's a choice of our own will. We must learn to be quick to repent, to forgive, and believe God. Believe God's highest and his best for us and for that other person. Let's look at another scripture here, Ephesians chapter 4. We read this last week. We're going to read it again today, just as a quick reminder here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Amplified says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper. Shoo, she's hitting a lot of stuff, ain't it? He's hitting a lot of stuff. Bitterness, indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language, be banished from you. Boy, oh boy. For with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. Boy, oh boy. But you can do this. God's on your side and you have the helper on the inside. You're dependent on his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 32, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily, say readily, forgiving one another readily and freely, say freely, as God in Christ forgave you. He sure did. Do you think he felt like hanging on that cross? No. But he was determined to do what? The Father's will. He knew what his assignment was, and he went to Calvary focused on what he was called to do. And the Bible says he laid down his life. Nobody took it. He laid down his life freely and willingly for you and I. Woo, glory to know that he did that. And then let's look at another scripture here in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 13. We talked about unforgiveness and to let it go and let it drop freely, quickly. Learning to be quick to repent, quick to forgive, forgivers and releasers. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and believe God. Look at verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely, there it is again, the Lord has what? Freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Woo! Oh, I don't know, Pastor Debbie, I don't know. Yes, 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 yes. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of your Father. Yeah. You ever seen a little child when they try to mimic their mama or their daddy. They want to what? Act like them, talk like them. Well, we're to act and talk just like God would. Imitators of God our Father. He told us to imitate Him so we can act like Him and talk like Him. How did God act, Pastor Debbie? Well, we know how God, it says He freely and readily forgave us. He did. God chose that. Jesus did that. Readily and freely. He didn't hesitate about it, did He? Nope. Readily. And then it tells us, Psalms 86, verse 5, it tells us about the Father God. Read that one more time right here. Psalms 86, verse 5. It says, "For You, O Lord, are good." Our God is a good God. "And ready to forgive." He's what? He's ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. "And You are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon You." God, our Father, is ready to forgive, sending them away. The Bible says He takes our sins, throws them behind His back, never to remember them again. Never. He doesn't pull them back up and say, "Oh, do you remember here? I remember what they did right there." No. Mm-mm. He says, throws them behind His back, never to remember it again. So if He can do it, and we can imitate Him, we can do it. Let it go, let it drop, leave it readily and freely. We don't want it to hinder our faith, nor block or stop our healing. Then we also learned this last week, number two. So number one was, we don't want it to affect. Unforgiveness is a major hindrance to our faith and a roadblock to our healing. We do not want to allow that to stop our faith, where Jesus told us right there in Mark 11, 22 through 26. Secondly is, let's go to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Don't want to forget this either. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Luke 17 and in verse 1, Amplified. "And Jesus said to His disciples, 'Temptations, snares, traps set to entice you to sin are sure to come, but woe to him by or through whom they come.'" They're sure to come. Offenses. They're sure to come. In other words, He's saying, you live in a day and a time when the enemy is going to try to make sure opportunities come your way that you can be offended, that you can get bitter, that you can harbor unforgiveness in your heart towards someone or something, and immediately that begins to block your faith and hinder your healing from being manifested in your body. So He's saying, verse 3, pay attention, always be on your guard. And I like one translation, says, get a grip on yourself. Get a grip on yourself. Pay attention, always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins and misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. If he repents, feel sorry for having sinned, forgive him. Verse 4, and even if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, I'm sorry, you must forgive him, give up resentment, and consider the offense as recalled and annulled. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, it tells the same story of the disciples was with Jesus. And Peter spoke up and he says, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus said, no, Peter, 70 times seven. 490 times in one day. Peter was like, Lord, increase our faith. Like, that would be a hard one. But Jesus goes on to tell us right here, right here, verse 5, it says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, that trust and confidence that spring from our belief in God. Verse 6, and the Lord answered, if you had faith, trust, confidence in God, even so small like a grain of mustard seed. So it only takes what? A small amount of faith. Hallelujah. As a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, Amplified says mulberry tree, sycamore tree or sycamine tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So it just takes what? It takes just a small amount of faith to speak to that unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, animosity, offense, tell it to be cast into the sea. And the same way that you took it was with your mouth, you began to talk about it and spread it. What they did, what they said, what they didn't do, what they didn't say. You took it with your mouth, the same way you get rid of it is with your mouth. That's your way out. And he compared it to a sycamore tree. Now, a sycamore tree, we said, number one, it grows in dry places. You know, the enemy can cause you to live in a spiritually dry place when you're living in unforgiveness and you're harboring it in your heart. And when you're living in a dry place, a spiritual dry place, Satan goes around in dry places finding an entrance into our lives. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. He goes around seeking a dry place that he can have what? An entry level. So the sycamore tree grows in dry places. We don't want unforgiveness to bring a spiritual dry place in our lives and give a place for the enemy to have a foothold, because he wants to get in there to what? Get a base to make a further advance for destruction in your life. We don't want that. Number two, we said the sycamore tree, the roots grow deep. In other words, it's hard to kill it. And its roots grow deep because it can affect many others. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, we looked at that last week. The root of bitterness, and it can bring a whole lot of others in that and poison them. It's Hebrews 12, 15. So the roots of a sycamore tree go very deep and it's hard to kill it. So we don't want it to get any root, any unforgiveness, any offense, any bitterness, resentment. No, we want to be quick to let it go, leave it, drop it. The sooner the better. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to believe God. Then we said number three about the sycamore tree, it's the fruit is bitter and is eaten by poor people. It can bring poverty to our lives if we keep harboring that unforgiveness. God wants us to what? Prosper. He said he's come to give us what? An abundant life. Yes, he has an abundant life. So we don't want to give place to any poverty because of harboring any unforgiveness in there. And then number four, the sycamore tree, the wood was used to build coffins. It's deadly. It's deadly. We do not have time for unforgiveness. We want to be quick, readily, freely forgive, quickly. Let it go. Let it drop. Leave it. The more you practice this, the better it is for you. Then we said number five about the sycamore tree. It's pollinated by the stinger of the wasp. It's poison, in other words. Every time you go tell somebody else about what so-and-so did to you, or you gossip about it, and tell that stinger is stinging them now. You're spreading it. The poison. It's poison. It's poisoning you and it's poisoning others. We don't want that root of bitterness in there. We want to uproot it, cast it into the sea. Why did Jesus say into the sea? Sea is salt. Salt represents nothing can live in salt. Salt kills it. Throw it into the sea, never to rise up again. If you know that you've picked it back up again, listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying with your mouth. If you're talking about it, you start saying what they did, what they didn't do, and you're talking to others about them, then you picked it back up with your mouth again. You reopen that door again. No, the Bible says, Psalms 119, verse 165, great peace have those that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Nothing. You know, unforgiveness is spiritual filth. Let me say that again. Unforgiveness is spiritual filth, and it takes what it tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 26, the washing of the water of the word to get that filth out. We don't want any spiritual filth in our lives. We want to continue to guard our hearts. Why? Because it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, out of the heart the springs of life come. The forces of life, one translation says, another translation says, the springs of life. What is the forces and the springs of life? Faith is a force or a spring of life. Love is a force or a spring of life. We want our faith to be in full operation and working for us. So we want to be on our guard against it. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Unforgiveness is one of the devil's devices, schemes, tricks to rob you and to gain an entrance, an entry level, an entry point into our lives, an access point. But we're to get what? Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a place to make a further advance. Nope. Guard your heart. Recognize it immediately. Who it's coming from, where it's coming from. And put a stop to it. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to believe God. Come on now. We can do this. Why? Because God says you can do this. So we don't want to give no place to the enemy. And we're not ignorant of how he operates. The sooner that we learn that, the quicker we recognize it and do something with that, the better off you are. Because the enemy, it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Notice he's seeking someone to devour. And notice it says, like a roaring lion. There is only one roaring lion, and that's the lion of the tribe of Judah, praise God. That's the lion of the tribe of praise, hallelujah. That's why when you praise, the devil don't like it. Yes, sir, buddy. You build a barricade around your own life that keeps the devil out. God's promise is working in, within. So we keep the enemy at bay. Keep resisting and keep trusting God and believing God. God is with you. God is for you. He's there to help you. You know, when it comes to this, we don't want the enemy to gain any inroad into our lives. We don't. Keep yourself free and clear by continuing to guard your heart. Yeah. So I want to read a testimony here. Y'all may have heard it, but it's a good one, and I love to use it every time. Before I bring up a few other things concerning unforgiveness. And it's Corey Ten Boom's testimony when it was during the Jewish Holocaust. And she and her sister was put in a Nazi concentration camp because they hid some Jews in their home during this time when Hitler had put the charge out about killing all the Jews. And so she begins to talk. And so eventually she outlives this whole thing and she gets released and let go. And so she's going around preaching and teaching. And she says, I was in a certain church where I was speaking and I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next moment a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones on it. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form body ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment of her skin. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me with his hand thrusted out. He said, a fine message. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. It was the first time, Corrie ten Boom said, since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors. And my blood seemed to freeze, she said. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me and the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips. Woo, buddy, 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 here she is, face to face. Again, the hand came out towards me. Will you forgive me? I stood there. I could not. Betsy had died in that place, my sister. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed like hours as I was wrestling with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it, and I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will. Here we go. With your own will, your decision, you making the choice. She said, but forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of your heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. So here we go. Here's the Holy Spirit's help coming in here. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply everything else. And so woodenly, Mechanically, I thrust my hand into one stretched out towards me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands. The former guard and former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. With Corey's willingness came God's power to forgive her former captor. So powerful. She was willing to do it. Jesus said, opportunities will come. They'll present themselves. We live in a fallen world. Satan is the little g god of this world system. But when they come, recognize it. Don't be unaware of certain necessary facts that you need to know concerning the enemy and how he operates. Be well aware. We're not looking for the devil under every rock and behind every chair. No, we're God conscious. We're word conscious. We're not devil conscious. I'm not trying to bring that out. We're God conscious. But at the same time, we're guarding ourselves against this. We're getting a grip on ourselves and recognizing how the enemy operates. And as the people of God, as God's people, as believers, we are well aware how and what and what he should try. And then we're quick to forgive, repent, and believe God. You know, sometimes it's as simple as even I like what it says here. It says sometimes we even have to forgive God. Because sometimes we end up blaming God for things that have happened or didn't happen in our lives. God is not the one behind it. He's not the one that did that. There is a devil out there that's arrayed against us. And he is about destruction and distraction. And he wants to take us out. And so sometimes you might have to forgive things like banks, post offices, things, Pastor, yes, you're holding a grudge against the bank because they didn't do a certain thing, or against the post office because your package didn't, it got tore up and broke, or all these little things that can creep in there. Be quick to let them go. Drop it, leave it. It's not worth it. Forgive yourself. Yes, sometimes we have to forgive ourselves. We're so mad at ourselves and everything. Forgive yourself and move on. And then, like we've been sharing, forgive others. We don't want any poison, toxic, spiritual filth to get in there. We want to have the washing of the water of the word. Continually washing. Let's stand to our feet. Now, I went a little further this week concerning unforgiveness and that when we harbor it, it can produce or allow sickness and disease in our bodies. From ulcers to cancers to arthritis, to heart disease. So if there's anybody in here today and this has ministered to you, and maybe you have not yet released, forgiven, and released that individual or thing, and you're ready to do it and receive your healing. If there's anybody in here today that would like that, then we definitely want to give you the opportunity to step right up here on this front row, and we will pray with you and for you. Anybody this morning?